A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David. Is it not enough for you to weary people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel." The word of the Lord.
Blessings from the Lord shall he receive, and right reward from the God who saves him. Such are the people who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised previously through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel about his Son, descended from David according to the flesh, but established as Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness through resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, among whom are you also, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home.
Verbum Domini.
Where would you enjoy being at this very moment? Where would you enjoy being at this very moment? Of all the places that you can choose, where would that place be? If it could be anywhere on the planet, or even at any moment in time, where would it be? Don't think too hard. I don't want your mind to be going there during Mass. But stay with me. Where did your thoughts immediately take you to? Probably some place that was safe. Probably some place that was secure. Want to honor that. Certainly the Lord desires us to be safe and to feel secure. I wonder how many of us thought, here, right here, in this place. Not because we're at Holy Mass this morning on a Sunday, but simply because to live in the present moment, to live in the present moment of reality right now, is what God has given us right now as a gift. To live in this present moment in time. If I am honest, I wasn't thinking here in this pulpit, in this moment. My mind probably, like yours, raced to some place that I'd rather be, some place that was safe and secure, some place that I think that I'm going to be happy. I'm certainly not saying that the place you thought and I thought was wrong. And I'd like to point out a practice that Pope Leo XIV recently shared with a group of journalists on his trip home from Lebanon to Rome. A journalist asked Pope Leo on the plane this question: if we were to read one book besides St. Augustine, any of his books or works, to understand who you are, Pope Leo XIV, Cardinal Robert Joseph Prevost, If we were to read one book, what would that be? This German journalist asked the Pope, and he thought of a few books, but he chose one book to share with really the world and the church. And the book is called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection, a Carmelite friar. And Pope Leo said that Brother Lawrence describes a time of prayer and spirituality where one simply gives his life over to the Lord and lets the Lord lead. It's a very simple statement. A type of spirituality where one gives his life and her life over to the Lord and lets the Lord lead him or her. And last week, he wrote a brief introduction to a book that was just published in Rome, a new version of The Practice of the Presence of God. And I'd like to share this with you. I don't know how many of you have read it, so you're going to hear it here, if not for the first time. It's a very brief introduction that Pope Leo XIV wrote concerning this practice. And I think it's very important during these times, especially during Advent, as we approach the coming celebration of the presence of Jesus at Christmas. He says, quote, "This small book places at the center of the experience, indeed the practice, the presence of God, as it was experienced and taught by the Carmelite friar Lawrence of the Resurrection, who lived in the 17th century. As I have had occasion to share, together with the writings of St. Augustine and other books, this is one of the texts that have most shaped my spiritual life and have formed me in what the path can be for knowing and loving the Lord." He says, the Pope says, "The path Brother Lawrence points out to us is simple and yet arduous at the same time. Simple because it requires nothing other than constantly calling to mind God with small continual acts of praise, prayer, supplication, adoration in every action, in every thought, having as our horizon, source, and end Him alone. Arduous because it demands a journey of purification, of ascetic discipline, of renunciation, and conversion of the most intimate part of us, our mind and our thoughts, even more than our actions." He says it's what St. Paul already wrote to the faithful in Philippi. "Have you in mind the same sentiments of Christ Jesus? Therefore, it is not only our attitudes and behaviors that must be conformed to God, but precisely our sentiments, our very way of feeling. In this interiority, we find His presence, the loving and burning presence of God, so other and yet so familiar to our heart. As St. Augustine writes, the new man will sing the new song." The Pope continues, "The experience of union with God, described in Brother Lawrence's pages as a personal relationship made of encounters and conversations, of concealments and surprises, of trusting and total abandonment, calls to mind the experiences of the great mystics. First among them, Teresa of Avila, who had also testified to this familiarity with the Lord to the point of speaking of a God of the pots and pans. However, it indicates a path accessible to all precisely because it is simple and every day." He says, like many mystics, Brother Lawrence also speaks with great humility, but also humor, because he knows well that every earthly thing, even the most grand and even dramatic, is a very small thing before the infinite love of God. Thus, he can say ironically that God deceived him, because having entered the monastery, because a little presumptuously, in order to sacrifice himself and harshly expiate the sins of his youth, found there instead a life of joy. He says, through the path that Brother Lawrence proposes to us, little by little, as the presence of God becomes familiar and occupies our inner space, the joy of being with him grows, gives him grace, and spiritual riches blossom, and even daily tasks become easy and light. The writings and testimonies of this Carmelite lay brother of the 17th century, who with luminous faith lived through the troubled events of his century, certainly no less violent than ours, can be an inspiration and help also for the life of us men and women of the third millennium. They also show us that there is no circumstance that can separate us from God, that every action of ours, every occupation, and even every mistake of ours acquires an infinite value if they are lived in the presence of God, continually being offered to him. And he finishes up. He says, all Christian ethics can be truly summed up in this continual calling to mind that God is present. He is here. This remembrance, which is something more than a simple memory because it involves our sentiments and affections, overcomes every moralism and every reduction of the gospel to a mere set of rules, and shows us that truly, as Jesus promised, the experience of entrusting ourselves to God, the Father, already gives us the hundredfold here below. Entrusting ourselves to the presence of God means tasting an anticipation of paradise. End quote. If I were to summarize really in just three statements, maybe that you can remember one, the practice of the presence of God. The first one would be a constant awareness of God at every moment. Constant awareness of God at every moment, bringing our minds back to the fact that God is here right now. And even our feelings, even when we, as St. Paul says, have you in mind Christ Jesus? Even when we feel like being somewhere else, and like part of us wants to be here and part of us wants to be there, that even our feelings matter to God. Even we can submit our feelings over. God, I give you my feelings now, the way I feel now. I feel tired. I feel anxious. I feel fearful. I feel joyful. All of these things matter to God. Giving them and handing them over to God. This is the way I feel in the present moment, because he is here right now in the present moment, eternally present. And the second phrase would be simple and yet arduous. Simple. It's easy for me, the priest, to just live in the present moment. It's easy for me to say that. But to put it into practice, even me and all of you, it's hard. Simple and yet arduous. It's simple to say it, but to live it is another reality. That's why it involves practice. not just every day, but every moment. Because you may be practicing it right now, but 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, you'd rather be somewhere else. So it's always a continual calling to mind all throughout the day, even if it be every 5 minutes, calling to mind God's presence. Where I'm at, right here, right now, at this moment. If I'm in the car, and I'd rather not be in the car because of everybody around me is driving like a fool, God, you are present here in the middle of all this. Present right now. And the third one would be the sacredness of ordinary life. Ordinary life is very sacred. What we do day in and day out, every single day. Getting up in the morning. Getting up out of bed. Even the buzzer going off in the morning, it can be sacred. Good heavens. All of these things in the present moment can be taken up into, I don't feel like getting up. I want to hit that alarm, snooze button another time, like I did about 3 or 4 times this morning. Even God can enter into that moment in the here and the now. Just calling to mind God, God's presence, the presence of God, the infinite presence of God who wants to meet us here, right here and now. In the sacred moments of everyday life. Even going up to the coffee machine and getting a cup of coffee, calling to mind the infinite goodness of God. Even sitting down and having a meal. Every single little action, God's presence. Not just simply coming to Mass, not just simply coming to adoration, praying your prayers every day, calling God to mind when you're here in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament at Mass, trying to stay attentive during a long homily. But even in the ordinary, everyday things that you think don't matter, those are the things that God wants us to bring to Him and to call to mind His presence. Again, it's practice. I used to hear the phrase growing up when I was a kid, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. Practicing all my baseball and all the sports that I played. Practice. Practice how you throw. You practice how you throw, you're going to get better at hitting the target, right? If we practice the presence of God, calling to mind God's presence, His continual presence, it's an everyday thing. It just doesn't end at one particular point in time. You don't reach a plateau that you've graduated. But it's an everyday for the rest of your life until you take that last breath. So a constant awareness of God at every moment of the day, He is here. It's simple yet arduous, simple, easy to say, hard to put into practice. In ordinary moments of daily life, God wants to sanctify. And all of this said, in this last Sunday of Advent, the readings invite us to attentiveness to God's presence. Advent is a time of waiting and already recognizing that God is here. It's a time of waiting and at the same time recognizing that He is already here in this present moment. And that He patiently awaits us more than we patiently await Him. God is infinitely patient. Salvation comes in real time. real and concrete places and with real obedience. And it takes practice to appreciate and to live the practice of the presence of God. So if you remember one word today, practice. Practice. In this moment, in this present moment, all throughout the day, we think of being other places that we'd rather be, places that we think we'd be happy. As we approach the sacred day of Christ's birth in the flesh, let us practice the presence of God. And even to ask our angel, who beholds the face of God right now, to ask our angel to help us to practice the presence of God when our minds are going all over the place and we're thinking we'd rather be here or we'd rather be there. Why not ask our angel to help us to live the practice of the presence of God and to live right here, right now, in this moment?